We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
Let's jump into God's Word. Who among you are involved in marital affairs? Some of you are quite shocked because marital affairs, something is not right, right? Oftentimes we hear the word extramarital affairs, right? Who among you are involved in extramarital affairs? I hope no one will raise your hand here. No one in extramarital affairs, but marital affairs, that's what we'd like to talk about. Now, if Wikipedia is right, now Wikipedia is not always right. You know, Wikipedia people just contribute to that. But if Wikipedia is right, this is the definition of affairs. Look at this. An affair is a sexual relationship or a romantic friendship or passionate attachment between two people. So if that really is the definition for affairs, for an affair, then I would like for an Uriel Duolos to have an affair with his wife, Dial. I'd like to have a Lowell Agustin have an affair with his wife, Wang. This is an affair. And so we continue our series today on life is not fair. And while we will be talking about marriage, I pray that even those who are not married, young and old alike, I pray that we will be able to pick up some things from here, even though we would be addressing marriage in particular. Life's not fair. Some of you say, my marriage, it's not very fair. And I'm sorry about that. It's not very fair because your spouse you have the better deal than your spouse. But 2 weeks ago, Peter mentioned about abstaining. Remember the instruction? Abstain from sinful desires. And so instead of us focusing on how can we abstain from temptations, instead of focusing on the negative, I will not do this again, the more you focus on that, the more you are prone to fall into the same sin. And so what I'd like for us to focus is on the positive. What can I do to not be tempted instead of focusing on abstaining from sexual sins or sinful desires? Why don't we worship God? An endless hallelujah. So that by doing so, then we will be not prone to fall into the same temptation. Now, I know it's not a surprise for many of you that there are marriage jokes all around. I think you know one of the marriage jokes. One or more marriage jokes. Somebody said that marriage, love is blind, right? Love is blind, but marriage is the eye opener. Love is blind, that's supposed to be a joke. Love is blind, marriage is an eye opener. But in many cases, that's very true. So here's a comic strip. I don't know if you are aware, I'm a comic reader. Not the kind of a Comic-Con reader, but comics in the fun is in the newspaper, but one of my favorite comic strips is Hager the Horrible. Anyone know of Hager here? Hager the Horrible? Come on. I hope you would be more into this. This is very spiritual. No. This Hager is a Viking. He's very barbaric because he's a Viking. And oftentimes he would give advices based on his perspective in life on a barbaric sense. But here we can see that his wife, Helga, who usually doesn't talk, is the one giving advice. So here is an advice to the daughter, to the young. When you wed, remember, talking and listening are keys to a good marriage. That's a good advice, right? Talking and listening is good, are the keys to a good marriage. And then the next frame says, you talk, he listens. You talk, he listens. Now, I think that's, in a sense, a nutshell for many. But then, for some of us, it's not just the women talking, but the men, especially if you're a talker. There are men who are talkers here, and the women are the ones listening or receiving. But oftentimes, it's shown that the wife is the one who's talking. But so, this afternoon, we would like to talk. We would like to talk in time to listen. It's like, I invite you to go with me. Imagine we're in Starbucks, okay, having a cup of coffee or tea. And of course, if you're in Starbucks, you need to have the blueberry muffin, right? Because what's the point of going to Starbucks without the blueberry muffin? So let's talk right now. And I would like, as we continue our series on Life's Not Fair, let's have a simple talk about marriage. Again, I pray that this would be beneficial even to the non-married people today. Because this is marriage, some of you might be prone to just react, maybe violently, or just be so excitedly reacting, especially as we talk. Now, Peter here is inviting, he talks to the women first. So it's like, men, pretend that you're not here. When I would address the women, pretend that you're not here, but because this is specific instructions, men, restrain yourself from saying amen, okay? If there are instructions that you think that is right and it should be in your marriage, just restrain yourself. In the same way, women, just restrain yourself when there are specific instructions that you'd like for your husbands to be doing. I know we are not a very expressive church. I'd like for us to be more expressive, but this time, just restrain yourself. We would be doing exhortation to the wives, exhortation to the husbands. That's how we would go about today. Very simple way. So, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you have your Bibles there, please open to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we would start our study of God's Word. What page is 1 Peter chapter 3, Brother Jess? 1202. If you're using the church Bible, the 1202. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Again, husbands, just calm down. Do not say amen yet to this. Okay? Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, what is the same way? There has to be a context, right? Wives, in the same way. What's the same way? The same way is 2 weeks ago, we talked about citizens, residents, submit to the government. Remember? Submit to the government, and then for you employees, submit to your boss. It's in the same way, wives, you are to submit to your husbands. Why? So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over. Okay, let's pause there. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned this, a new lifestyle. If you were here, if you've been journeying with us, a new lifestyle, I mentioned the N-E-W. We need to nourish ourselves. We need to establish a time with God and to walk with Him. The new lifestyle is that our positions are aliens and strangers. Remember that? We are aliens. God is calling us to be different and to make a difference. This is the context now. We are to make a difference and to be different. We are to abstain from sinful desires. And what's the expression of the new lifestyle, if you can remember? Those of you who are here. The expression of the new lifestyle is what? To submit. Remember? Submission is the expression of the new lifestyle. In the same context that wives are to submit to the husband. Now, what does submit mean? You might say, Pastor, there must be a different meaning than the politically incorrect submission. I'm sure many of you would say, that's not politically correct to submit just blindly. I agree. It's not a blind submission. Now, here is the definition of submission. To submit, it's not here in your notes, but listen to this. To submit is to willingly submit to your husband's authority and leadership. Okay? It is willingly submitting to your husband's authority and leadership. Now, I think some of you say, that's probably not right. It is right. That's biblical. Wives, submit to your husband's authority and leadership. That's very biblical. From the very start in Genesis, remember? Adam was given the authority and leadership. When they ate of the the forbidden fruit, they ate. Who got the forbidden fruit first? Eve, right? Eve is the one to be blamed. No, they ate. Eve got the fruit, ate, gave it to the husband. Adam also ate. Now, when God came back, who did God look for? It's not Eve. He looked for Adam. Why? Because Adam is the one in authority, given leadership. Adam, where are you? In the same way, husbands, that's why there's a high call here for husbands. But wives, you are to submit. It is to submit to a husband's authority and leadership. Now, why are you to submit? 2 weeks ago, I mentioned this. You are to submit. Wives, you are to submit not because they deserve. Let me say that again. You submit to your husbands not because they deserve, but because God commands to do so. Is that clear? It's not because they are deserving. Even if your husbands are not deserving, you are to submit. Is that clear? Expression is submission. What's the motivation? What's the motive of every action of every man? Remember? To glorify God. That is our motivation. The reason why we're submitting is because not they're deserving, but because we want to glorify God. Is this making sense? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. This ought to be the motive of every action and decision that we have. To glorify God. In the same way you are to submit, because it is for God's glory. It says here, so that they may be won over, and we will talk about the how later. So, here's a historical context of Peter writing this. The most common way of people getting married before, let me go down, is arranged marriage. Most of you have probably heard of arranged marriage, right? Arranged marriage is when the people involved who are getting married, they have no choice. It's the parents who choose their partner. Now, some of you have heard of these kinds of marriages. It is still true today in India and in some cultures. Now, you might think that that's awful. No, it's not. Because if the parents love their children so much, they look for the best for their children. And so, in that way, they would choose somebody who's best for their children. Now, sometimes it doesn't work well because Romeo and Juliet's style of love and marriage, they said, but I need to love the person, right? So, in this context, some people did not like their marriage partner. But what is Peter saying? Wives, submit. Even if you did not choose your husband. Even if your husbands are not deserving of your submission. Is this making sense? Or no? Yes? You chose, I hope you chose your husbands. Now, if you chose your husbands, and Peter is addressing to these people who did not choose their husbands to submit, you have no reason at all to say, no, I should not submit. You are to submit. Now, how are you women supposed to submit to your husbands? So we need to look at our expression is submission, our motivation is the glory of God, and what's the application here? The how. How do you submit? How do you win your husbands over? Let's continue reading. Wives, in the same way, submit, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, meaning they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't believe in the Lord, they may be won over, how? Without words, by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. Let's pause there. How are we to do this? Let me suggest two letters. BNB. What's BNB commonly? BNB. Bed and breakfast, right? Bed and breakfast. Have you heard of bed and breakfast? Bed and breakfast, they're small lodging places for transients. They would come and find a cheap accommodation and then they will have breakfast in the morning. Bed and breakfast. Now, I like the concept of bed and breakfast because in the common view of the world today, especially in Hollywood, they said that maybe BNB is the way to win men over. That's how you win their hearts. Have you heard of expressions that the easiest way to a man's heart is what? To his stomach, all right? The easiest way is the stomach. So B&B, bed and breakfast, might be the world's view of winning a man. You give him food, breakfast, and then bed, sex. Food and sex. That's the world's view, if you think about it. But Peter gives a different B&B, and I'd like to give another B&B here. First is behavior, and then the second one's beauty. Behavior and beauty. So Peter says it very clearly. Win them without words by the behavior of their wives, their conduct. Now, in the Greek original, this is your lifestyle. This is what we're talking about, a new lifestyle. We often hear the phrase, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. Oftentimes, Christianity is easier said than done. Now, let me ask you, is your Christianity contained in your head? Oftentimes, many church people, Christianity is just in the head. They hear, they see, they speak, they talk about their Christianity, but oftentimes, and they believe in the head. It's just in the head. But it is not transcended down in their hands and their feet and in their heart and in their lives. It's a head religion. Does that make sense? Christianity is a head religion for many church people. They know Jesus, they believe in Jesus. But let me tell you this. Did you know that even the demons believe in Jesus? But I believe true Christianity is not a head religion. It's a heart relationship. So here is what the behavior says. You win them over to Christ without words. It's easy for us to talk about Christianity. It's easy for us to talk about you have to believe in Jesus Christ. But does your life speak that Jesus Christ is worth our faith, our trust? Is Christianity something that people would be interested and attracted to? This is what Peter is talking about. Listen to this. You have to stop talking now. You have to start doing. Does that make sense? Let it not be contained in your head. Yes, you hear me? You read God's word, you talk about Christianity, you can talk about Christian, you can be speaking Christian lingo, Christianese, as they would say. You can sing spiritual songs, you can pray well. But does your life speak about how awesome God is so that He deserves our endless hallelujah? Peter's talking about winning them over without words. We need to speak, by the way. We need to have our head. Because from the head starts, you know, the transcendence and be able to express it in our hearts. This is not just for women. I'm talking to everyone here, young and old alike, students, employees, etc. Is your Christianity attractive? Is your Christianity down to your whole body? That it is expressed in your hands, in your feet, and in your heart. And it's not just in a head religion. We need to win people over to Christ. Look at Matthew 5:16. You don't have to turn there. I think it's on the screen here. And this is a very familiar passage. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. What? That they may see your good deeds. How do you shine your light? According to this passage. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, words, and works. To let your light shine, let your life show that Jesus is really a great God, that He is awesome, that He is good and faithful all the time. Words are important, but your works are even more important. You know why? Because if your words are matched with your works, then you're not a phony. You're not fake. You're real. Your Christianity is true. You say, believe in Jesus Christ, but do you believe in Him? You say, believe in Jesus Christ, but when things are getting rough, do you believe in Christ? Does your life validate your words? Some of you are saying, Pastor, I'm new to this. I'm new to Christianity. I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian yet. For those of you who are new in this, We call this baby Christians, right? Think about this. How do babies learn to walk? Do they read a dummy's guide on how to walk? Or do they listen to messages by Benjamin Spock on child development? Do they talk about it? No. How do babies learn to walk? Josh and Angel, you just have raised a baby. How did Josh learn to walk? By trying, right? If you remember when your kids were little, they tried to climb. They did not talk about it. They just walk. And here's my challenge for all of you. Whether you are new or you have been in the church for a while, let your light shine by walking. Take a step of faith. Just believe in Him. How can you do that? Start with God's Word. Is the Bible really God's Word for you? And if it is it showing a transformation in your lives? Is it changing you? Is the sword really penetrating into your heart that just says, yes, God, I believe in your word? Do we spend time in God's word? Let God's word be a rail. Psalm says, the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So let's start with that. We walk. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. I would encourage you, invest on a study Bible. And some questions that you might ask, when you read God's word, try to dissect and say, like for instance, verse 1, wives in the same way, what does that same way mean? You know, ask questions. And if you cannot find answers, come to church, ask. I love so much people who would ask, Pastor, what does this mean? When they are purely, innocently asking for questions. Now, there are people who ask questions, but they have answers already in their mind. That's not what I'm referring to. So, live it out. This is what I call incarnating the gospel. You might want to write that down. Incarnate the gospel. Incarnate, you put meat on the gospel. Make it real. Put flesh on it, not just some beliefs, not just some ideas. So first B is what again? First B. Behavior. Behavior. The second B is beauty. Everybody wants to be beautiful, right? Amen? Everybody wants to be beautiful. It's shown in the size of the mirror in your house. We all want to always look into the mirror, men, women alike, right? I'd like to be going to the gym because these people, most of them, I'm not saying everyone, they're just so vain. The reason why they're there is when they face the mirror, they like that, right? Every time they do that, because they want to look beautiful, body beautiful. And the women also, they'd like to look beautiful. It's the single most word that we would like to hear. We'd like to hear something like, you look great today. You look so beautiful. But oftentimes, we don't hear that at home. What do we hear at home? You look what? You look fat. No. Shh. How is beauty dictated? Who dictates beauty? What's the standard of beauty? That, I think, is the unfortunate thing. Because beauty is dictated by culture. Culture. Comic-Con, I don't know. I think they ended yesterday. Comic, huh? Today. So Comic-Con, people would line up there. Why? They would line up until the wee hours of the morning so they can get a spot at Hall H because they want to meet their characters, the actors and the actresses. These people dictate what beauty is. By the way they look, the way they dress up, the way they speak. Think about it. Girls, what's the model for beauty among girls? Ever since Walt Disney created these movie screens and the movies, it has always been the Disney princesses, right? It's either Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella or Elsa or Frozen right now. It's they dictate what beauty looks like. I think that's very unfortunate because sometimes it's... Do we wonder, and we should wonder, is that really what beautiful looks like? What does the Bible say about beauty? What does beautiful mean? Let's look at Matthew 23. And this is very interesting. In Matthew 23, and some of you have read this also before, Jesus describes beautiful, I think, in the world's view. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. They like to look beautiful. You know why? They like to look pious. They like to look holy. But he says, you hypocrites, you're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. The culture we are in today dictates that you need to look beautiful on the outside. Right? You need to look beautiful on the outside. No matter what, just wear something very nice and you will look great. Put on a nice bag there and the bag that matches with your shoes. You look beautiful already. But look at what Proverbs 11:22. And again, this is for the women because this is an exhortation to the wife. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout. It's a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. So those who try to look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside is not, they're like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Once they start talking, they lost their beauty, right? You have seen those kinds of women. Culture dictates the standard for beauty. But here is Paul's admonition in Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not follow the patterns of the world. Now, am I saying that we should not look beautiful? By all means, we should try to make ourselves beautiful. For who? Not for everyone to say, hey, you look great. First, beautiful to your spouse. But most of all, the reason is for the glory of God. Because God created you in His image. In God, you are beautiful beyond description. Remember that song? God is awesome. And if you're reflecting the image of God, you ought to be beautiful to reflect the glory of God. Now, I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs 31. Put a marker on 1 Peter, because we would certainly be going back there. But go back to the left, to the Old Testament. In the book of Proverbs, it's after the big book of Psalms. Proverbs 31. And some of you have heard about Proverbs 31 woman. Now, I'd like for us to look at how beautiful is described in God's Word. Ready? Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10. A wife of noble character. See, beauty and behavior, they're so intertwined here. Because there is the integrity of the person, of the wife. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Wives, do your husbands have confidence in you? 2 days ago, I went jogging there at Potomac, and I met a person. His name is Fred. And he just felt, I guess, so comfortable sharing his life to me. He is a retired Navy. But he was making good business in the Philippines. He converted a small house into a 21-bedroom pension lodge in Baguio so that he's earning $70,000 pesos a month. And on top of that, he's buying and selling houses and lots and cars. So he was earning a lot of money there. And he did not think of coming back to the U.S. anymore because he had a good life in Baguio. But then he thought about retiring. And so he said, maybe I should go back and start getting my pension from the Navy. And so he came back to sign up as reserve. But before he signed up and really literally signed the contract, he had a heart attack. And he had a bypass surgery. When he had bypass surgery, his wife started to change. And she began to abhor him. And she began to have a different way of treating him. In fact, she began to have a relationship. So that one day, pretty soon, when they came to the States, she said, I want to get out of this marriage. Because he cannot do anymore as a husband what she would like the husband to be. So she had a boyfriend, and finally they divorced. When the spouse is not able to function anymore, do we still keep our word in sickness and in health? Or is it that in debt, not in death, but sometimes in debt, when you are indebted, utang, when you owe money, then that's when you have to part already. Proverbs 31 says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. This wife, a beautiful woman, is a one who works hard. She is like a merchant. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, and she gets up while it's still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers buying a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She invested in Napa Valley. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. This is the kind of woman that God's word says is beautiful. She is beautiful not just on the outside, but more so, more beautiful on the inside. Amen? This is the exhortation. Wives, this is what we are, you are. This is what you are called to be, behavior and beauty. But let me add an extra B here. This is free without charge. An extra B instead of just B and B. An extra B is a bravery, bravery. If you look at verse 6, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3 again, verse 6. So the sentence here starts with, they were submissive to their own husbands, the women of old. The women of the past, they put their hope in God. And they, let me read verse 5. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. This is how they became beautiful. They submitted to their own husbands. Like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. I think that's the key, ladies. Call your husband master. Master. If you're into Star Wars, you call him Master Jedi. But actually, in some other versions, it's called Lord, because Sarah called her husband Abraham Lord. So you might want to try that. Lord Lowell. Sounds good, right? Lord Joshua. No, it's cultural, okay? It's cultural. It's in their context, they wanted to do that. But no, you don't have to call them master. But Sarah was citing an example. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Bravery. It takes courage for a woman to be beautiful, to have an inner beauty, a behavior that honors God. It takes courage to do what is right and not be fearful of what others will say about her, not even what the husband will say about her. The only fear that the women and the men should have is the fear of the Lord. It's what God says. It's not what others will say about you. So the worldly B&B should now be incorporated. I'm not saying bed and breakfast is bad, but it should be subservient to your behavior, your beauty, and your bravery. Now, you can still serve bed and breakfast. That's still good. That is still part of loving your husband in submission. So, exhortation to the wives. Let's go to the husbands now. Verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, if you notice, it's quite evident here. The wives have 6 verses, but the husbands only have 1. Verse 7. Does that mean that the wives have a greater responsibility in the marriage? No. If the exhortation for the wife is to have B&B, the husbands will have CC, okay? For the wives, it's B&B, but it's CC for the husbands. Now, in the email world, what does CC mean? Carbon copy, right? Carbon copy. And the reason why I really want that carbon copy is B&B also holds true for you, men. Behavior and beauty. Don't tell your wife, you look ugly, but look at yourself also. You need to make yourself beautiful. You need to make yourself healthy and strong. Don't say, it's my genes that I look like this. Don't blame your parents. Carbon copy. You need to have behavior and beauty that honors God and the bravery. But on top of that, I'd like to add CC. Commitment and conferment. The second word is such a big word. I will dissect that later. But commitment, you know, conferment, we will talk about that. Number one, commitment for the husband. The main verb here is, if you would look at verse 7 again. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. I think it's ironic. NIV has not captured the original way this was written in Greek. Because in the Greek language, the main verb there, when you try to understand a language in Greek, you always look for the main verb. And the main verb here is to live, to dwell together. That's the main verb. But NIV does not capture that. The other versions, English Standard Version and God's Word Translation captures. So let me show you how a translation that captures most accurately the original. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with understanding, since they are weaker than you are. Honor your wives as those who share God's life-giving kindness so that nothing will interfere your prayers. Now, you might say, Pastor, that is very degrading. That's politically incorrect. Why? Women are not necessarily weaker, right? You would say, women are not weaker than men. But the Bible says, because they are weaker, you are to honor them and treat them with understanding. I need you to know that in the general sense, this one refers to the physical aspect only. Wives are not weaker morally, they're not weaker in character. But in strength, physical strength, they are generally weaker. Now, I understand some of the wives here are stronger than the men. They can carry their husbands, right? So easily. Some of you are laughing. But in the general sense, the wives are weaker. When you consider when the wives have, during their pregnancy, they're weak. They're not able to lift anything before and after pregnancy. That's just the context there. Now, let's go back to the main verb again. The command is to dwell together with understanding. It's not just live with your wives. Dwell together with understanding. Now, I say this takes commitment. You know why? Men generally are conquerors. Why? What do I mean by that? Conquerors. We're like hunters. We conquer something. We hunt, let's say, in the woods. I'd like to hunt for a wild boar. Once you get and conquer that, you're done. You would like to hunt another one. And so men, many of you would do anything to be able to win your wife, your girl. But once you win them over, what happens? There is a tendency for you to conquer another. Because by nature, we're conquerors. Does that make sense? We're conquerors. When you have conquered something, you want to move on to another. So, Peter's admonition here, live, dwell together with them. It takes commitment. Because it's not that when you have conquered them, you may already have permission to go and conquer another. This is the new lifestyle. The way the husbands can honor God is through their commitment to their wives. This is our promise in the altar. I will hold you. I will uphold you with my right hand. I will be with you in sickness and in health till death do us part, right? What are we to do when it says, live with your wives with understanding? How do we understand our wives, men? Or do you even try to understand your wives? You need to study them. You need to study them. You need to observe them. You need to be with them. Now, that again is commitment, because if we're conquerors, she's already my wife. I can do anything I want. You cannot study her if your eyes are always on the TV or on the computer. You cannot study her. You cannot study her if you're always in your car trying to clean it or what. You cannot study her only when you want her for that day. That's not living with understanding. Living with understanding is to be with her, spend time with her, observe her, do some things together, commit to live with them with understanding. That's commitment, okay? What's conferment? What is confer? To confer is to bestow, to give a title, an honor. And you will often hear this in graduation ceremony. They would say, I confer to you the degree of master's in volcanology or what? In graduation, right? You would hear that. Confirm it. Now, Peter says here, give them honor as the weaker partner because they are heirs with you. By the way, let me say this. Some of you might say, that's why we don't like the Bible. The Bible is written by men. And this is very patriarchal. It's so favored to the men, but the women are not honored. Let me say this. Especially in the New Testament writers, Paul and Peter, yes, it was written in the highly patriarchal society, which means men are more valued than women. But Peter here gives the women the right position because he's saying, treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the grace of life. Peter is now elevating women the same. They are equal. I like what the word actually means, sharing inheritance together. The women are fellow heirs. They're co-heirs. We share together. In the Message version, I'd like to look at the Message version of verse 7. Men, can we read this together, please? The same goes for you, husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages. But in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground. Amen? Women are equal. That's why Paul says there is no male nor female, no Jew nor Greek, right? We are equal in God's sight. Remember in Genesis, God created Adam in his image, and Eve was created in God's image as well. They're equal. Treat your wives equal. So give them that honor. They're not of less value. In 2007, between 2000 and 2007 and 8, that's 7 years ago, I had a friend, let me call her Lucy. Lucy is a missionary friend of ours from the Philippines, and she is single, and she tried to look for a partner. And so she went online, and she met Charlie. It's not his real name. So Charlie lives in Pasadena. Lucy is in the Philippines. So Lucy asked us, Jin and June, could you please check on Charlie? And so we went to see Charlie. And we spent time with Charlie. Charlie seems to be a nice guy. He works with the IRS of all places. Nice work. Very stable job. And so Charlie said, I'd like for Lucy to move here already. I'd like for us to get married soon. And Lucy should not spend time anymore considering what are options for her to do. I said, Charlie, Lucy has always been involved in mission work. She's a very busy woman. She's very active. She would like to do something. And I think Lucy would like to consider, if she moves to California, what would be her preoccupation? What would she be doing? Would she be involved in ministry? What kind of work would she be doing? And Charlie said, no. She should not consider any of this. I will provide for her. Well, Jean and I thought that, yeah, that's good. He would provide. But the more Charlie spoke, Charlie said, Lucy should come here right away. She is already past 40, and I'm already approaching 50. We need to get together right away, because a woman's role, according to Charlie, is to clean the house, to cook for him, and to have babies. That's the role, according to Charlie's perspective. Charlie, by the way, is originally from China. I said, wow. In his mind, a woman's role is to clean the house, cook food, and have babies. That today still remains to be in some cultures, unfortunately. We thought this is the modern culture. Women have equal rights with men. That's why there's this feminist movement. They said, no, we are more superior than the men. I don't think that's necessary to get there. And I don't think men are more superior. We're equal. But for Charlie, the way she looks at women, they are of lower value. Now, as I began to work on this message, I mistakenly typed the word marital. If you would look at the marital, it can be jumbled and turn into the word martial. Now, what does martial mean? Martial pertains to something pertaining to war. It's military, warlike, you know, martial law, martial arts. Now, if we will not follow God's instruction in marital affairs, it will become martial affairs for you and your husband. I said, wow, that's interesting play of words there. Now, if we will just go back to the basics of our discussion, our motivation is the glory of God. Our expression is submission to one another. Now, this is not just for in the context of husband and wife, because look at Ephesians 5:21. I think it sums up what biblical submission really is. Biblical submission says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The glory of God is the motivation. The expression is submission. But biblical submission is mutual submission. You submit to one another, not just the wife to the husband, but the husband to the wife also. In the same way, children are to submit to their parents, and the parents submit to their children, because it's out of reverence for Christ. Does that make sense? Our motivation is the glory of God. Our expression is submission. And we are doing that because of our position. What's our position? Peter says, what are we? What? Aliens. Don't forget that. Don't forget that you are aliens. Beautiful aliens, okay? Beautiful aliens. What does that mean? We are called to be different and to make a difference. That's why do not follow the patterns of this world any longer. If you think that Peter's ways and instructions are old-fashioned, I'm sorry to tell you, this remains to be true, and God's word remains to be relevant today. Submission is the key to a mutual, healthy relationships. Husbands and wives, I would encourage you to consider attending a weekend getaway this November. It's called Weekend to Remember. We have two couples here that joined that conference some 4 years ago. And this will be in November. If you are interested, it's going to be costly, but this is a time for you men to invest in your marriage. Have a getaway. This is by Family Life Conference. I will give you more details, but if you are interested, ask and let me know so I can give you more details. So, in closing, we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and this is out of our behavior and our beauty, and it takes courage to be brave. It entails our commitment and to confer the title, to honor one another. And so let us continue to submit to God, because Christ himself submitted to the Father.
And I'd like our worship team to come as we continue to ponder upon this, the truth of God's word. Do we believe? Do we believe in what God says? And what do I really believe? Let's continue to worship God as our usher will come and also receive our offering. Evening.